His Full Glory. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom My Hero Academia. Rating teen. Relationship Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for heavy drinking, drinking buddies, teachers having fun, explicit language, talk of dicks, sex talk, BDSM, light dom sub, Hizashi being a ridiculous buffoon, and All Might's daddy dick. Part 8 of the Bandages and Bravado series.
Mine. So don't make a sound. Your father's around to play with your head. Gift wrap, guilt trip, kisses left you naked in your bed. And all I see, I don't believe. And what you see is what you get with me. I'm wasting all your time.
For the millionth time in their accidentally extended academic career, Aizawa Shota sat at a bar at some awful hour of the night with Hizashi and Nemuri, drinking their burnt brain cells away and pretending they didn't have paperwork haunting every inch of their apartment counters. As usual, Hizashi and Nemuri were doing most of the talking, but it was nicely distracting. He stifled a yawn. It had been a particularly long week, and he had to admit he wasn't recovered from either midnight session or the episode that had triggered it. Even in his slack clothing of choice, his back still stung every so often. He needed another layer of Recovery Girl's special balm, and he needed it an hour ago. Midnight was sweet to him about it, and duly responsible with the necessary aftercare, even meeting him in the bathroom a few times during the week to help him with the balm situation and the places he couldn't properly reach. However, their sessions always got her extraordinarily hyper and horny, which is how they found themselves at their new favorite bar discussing dicks. Famous dicks. And whose they'd seen and whose they'd like to see. Considering the general trend of skin-tight latex hero outfits, it was a relatively popular tipsy subject with, well, everyone even mildly interested in dicks. Hizashi was a good sport about it, and Aizawa nodded where necessary. But looking back, it was only a matter of time before it got to the absolutely unavoidable subject of All Might. I've heard he's enormous, Midnight purred, pausing for effect. As in, downright delicious, not for beginners, big. Aizawa rolled his eyes, the beer souring a bit in his mouth. He should probably start tapering off for the night anyway. Fitness checkups the next day started early. He hoped Midoriya had managed to stow a few more tricks up his sleeve and could improve his numbers this time. Otherwise... Come on, you two! Hizashi groused, waving his hands nervously. I don't partake, but after a certain point, doesn't the size just get prohibitive? You can't even do anything with it at that point, right? Oh, you're so wrong. Midnight slapped her hand on the table with relish, leaning close like she was about to disclose a new secret to life. You can do anything if you give it enough time and lubrication. And just because it's not traditional vanilla doesn't mean it's not fun. Do you have any idea how nice something like that feels in your mouth? Oh, God, I could do it all day. Hey, okay! Hizashi groaned and recoiled in his chair like the R-rated hero was radioactive, hand over his bright red face. Hey, whoa, ah, overload, Shota, back me up on this. Midnight demanded between shrill giggles. And he nodded. She was pretty right. She clapped her hands in glee. Anyway, like I was saying, All Might. All the girls in my middle school wanted some Texas smash after he started wearing his skin-tight Silver Age getup. That's for sure. Did you guys ever see that juicy spill-all interview with that American ambassador's daughter back in, like, high school? She asked with a shiver, leaning over her drink. How very American, right? He might be getting on in years, but gosh, you'd never know. That costume shows every damn inch. I'd kill to have a shot at All Might in his full glory. Just in his full glory? It was a second before Aizawa realized he'd said it out loud, or even tuned into the conversation past a background buzz. He kept his cool, raised his eyebrow. Just saying, he muttered, hands interlocked around his beer as he thumbed absently at the condensation. It's not who he is. Not now, anyway. And keep your voice down. Hizashi and Namori traded a glance, with Namori looking a little ashamed. It was like they'd forgotten he was a co-worker. But then, the difference between that All Might and their All Might was just that extreme. It was sobering. She bit her nail, and Shota snorted, tired. I should watch what I say, I suppose. What a sweet man. Midnight sighed wistfully but quietly, putting her cheek in her painstakingly manicured hand. What an awful thing to have to bear. He really doesn't look well, does he? Speaking of which, you've been hanging out with him a lot, Shota, Hizashi said, tipping his trademark glasses with a look that was far too interested for his own good. His oldest friend jostled him with his shoulder, so playfully it made Aizawa want to crawl into bed and die. What's that about? I've been correcting his papers a lot, he countered archly, and his grading. He nearly flunked half the class out of English with a typo, which might have actually improved Kaminari's scores, but I don't think the man has touched a computer in 10 years. He's your type, though, isn't he, Shota? Midnight purred, rolling her eyes as if in a passion. His real body. Tendons for days. That's hardly professional, he muttered, not even giving her a look. I can see you with an older guy, she continued jauntily, just to aggravate him. He considered falsely invoking sub-privilege to make her stop, claiming emotional recovery. But it would embarrass Hizashi. He endured, and she coyly tapped her chin, eyes gleaming at his imaginary love life. You know, a daddy type who can give you what you like. Someone you don't have to coddle or worry about. Now, Midnight, you know Shota has a very strict policy on dating. Hizashi put in with an educational air, as if he had the contract downloaded at home. Then he clutched his chest and leaned back, howling, which is, don't! The two erupted into peals of laughter and clutched at each other behind Shota's burning, itching back, very pleased with themselves and their little joke. Yeah, and you're both engaged, right? He snorted, which quieted them up quickly enough. He shrugged, then winced. Ow. That's just the way it works with this job. Oh, get off your high horse, Shota. Midnight griped, waving her empty glass at him. It doubled as a request for the bartender. Who knew them and their alcoholism well already? To fill her up again. Don't act like you were born for this. You said being a teacher was irrational, and it wasn't until I snuck that recommendation behind your back that you actually considered the idea. It worked out, he said, in a way that made it clear he wasn't going to thank her for that particular bit of deceit. True, it wasn't something he'd ever seen himself doing when he was younger, but he had an odd level of job satisfaction at UA, and found himself feeling very strongly about things he hadn't while he was doing his own hero work. It was different, training wide-eyed children and sending them into a world that could let them down. fail to provide for their basic humanity as they threw it all away for everyone else, trading applause and merchandise deals for broken bones and bleeding spirits. Midnight was still complaining into thin air that he would never thank her. She was right. She and Mike chittered for a while about their own classes and duties, and Shota just sipped his drink, thoughts wandering. Tendons for days, huh? Is that all she saw? Turned out it wasn't. Still, I've seen you. Nemuri bumped Aizawa's shoulder to get his attention, and he turned groggily. She gave him a sultry wink over the incongruous bowl of maraschino cherries she always ordered with her disgusting skunky beer, dragging a bright red stem over her plump lips. Teasing him. Toshinori again. It was like they couldn't stay away from the subject of a new staff member for a damn second, despite how constantly the entire faculty ducked in and out to attend to their other jobs. It pained him to realize for the thousandth time that his closest friends were such shameless gossips. Good grief, how did he manage to attract two nosy, cheeky extroverts into his boring, chilly life? And why the hell were they still there? You do have to ease off on that. Hizashi chided him with a wag of his finger, looking legitimately concerned. He's gonna have a heart attack if you don't stop crowding him. His health isn't super amazing. If you haven't noticed the whole coughing blood thing, and you can be a little spooky, my friend. He doesn't know when to quit. It's that heckin' plus ultra spirit. Despite talking about the world's most powerful veteran hero, now weakened, daily pushing himself to the point of throwing up blood, Hizashi yeah'd and pumped his fist, caught up. Yeah, yeah, Shota muttered, waving him off. We're working on that, he thought to himself. There had been some improvement already. All Might was walking straighter, smiling more easily, and didn't seem as befuddled or distracted when it came to learning new things. Fuck the plus ultra spirit. That particular hero needed to calm the hell down and learn to take care of himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't be around long enough to rile the class up and make his job hell for the foreseeable future. Which was Aizawa's current life circumstance, and he despised change, so there. Eartha Shota. There was a knocking on his shoulder. Hizashi giggled, light and drowsy. You can come back into orbit now, buddy. We're done messing with you. For now. Until another eligible daddy comes your way, my dear. Aizawa hummed, knowing he couldn't escape them or their shenanigans. He was mildly content with that. He liked hearing his friends laugh, at least, and he was usually exhausted after a night out with them, which was more useful to him than most. It worked. They worked. He was, he begrudgingly admitted, more than nominally fortunate to be trapped in unending academic hell with them. Or something. It's late, he realized aloud. He struggled to stand with a groan, collecting his things and looping his shoulder bag awkwardly over his wrist to avoid a shit ton of pain. Throwing his part of the bill on the counter, he gave his fellow instructors and the digital clock behind them a haggard look. What the fuck, you didn't tell me it's already 1 in the morning. You guys are bad for my sleep schedule. You were really caught up talking about dicks, man. Don't worry, you can catch up on it during class. Sleep, I mean, not dick. Hizashi snickered thickly, ribbing Nemuri, who nearly knocked over her cherry bowl, trying to contain her laughter, half hiccuping something that sounded like, "All Might's daddy dick." The two screamed with laughter, clutching each other. Aizawa sighed his entire soul out through his mouth, fully convinced the two of them were the least qualified on the entire planet to teach 15-year-olds how to be functional human beings. I'm leaving. Screw you. And you, good sir! With their customary farewells already under the wheels, Aizawa lumbered out into the quiet streets and started home, wondering about Toshinori's odd habit of coughing blood and what it meant about the future. Was it something he was improving on, or just something he did now? What was that horrendous consumptive scar hiding on his left side? He made a mental note to ask about his health next time they met for a planning period. But not the scar. Not yet. As a hero and as a man, Toshinori Iyagi deserved better, and he would help where he could. His struggling co-teacher deserved, above all, rest and kindness. Yet another thing in Aizawa's strange life he didn't realize he felt so strongly about. But there he was. That much he could do. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!